It's time for Breaking Bread with Papa.
Hey!
Don't you know?
Hey!
It's our goal.
Hey!
It's time for Breaking Bread with Papa.
Hey!
Don't you know?
Hey!
It's also a show.
Hey!
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Breaking Bread with Tom Papa. I am Tom Papa. Thank you for joining us at this table as we head into the holidays. Very exciting show for you today. We have Fielding Edloe and Larry Clark, a married comedic acting powerhouse couple who have a great web series called Bitter Homes and Gardens. You have to look it up, Bitter Home and Gardens. You have to look it up on the YouTubes. It's hilarious. They're so funny together. If you have been anywhere near a relationship, you will definitely see shades of yourself and your partner in this very funny series. They've got great guests on it. They write it and produce it and do everything themselves. They're super funny. And I figured what better guest for our Thanksgiving week show than people that are going to make you feel better about your own life. I got a beautiful banana bread. I have a feeling this is not from Larry. It's really from Fielding. I'm very grateful. They also got two breads. More of that when we get into it. This show is brought to you by me. I'm out on tour, so make sure you go to tompapa.com. I have a lot of tickets in the new year. If you're thinking about what you want to give your loved ones, perhaps, I have some shows before then. I'm going to San Francisco at Cobb's, and I also have Tarrytown, New York will be wrapped up by this one. And then we're going to Arizona. We're going to North Dakota. My father just pointed out I'm going to North Dakota and Milwaukee in February. That's how much I love you. But lots of tickets all going through the spring. We just announced the win in Las Vegas. We're returning there in May. So make sure you go to tompapa.com and get your tickets there. I hope you're doing well. I hope your holiday is great. I hope this adds some joy to your week. It is a week of celebrating, I do believe. I have already made my list of things that I need to complete my holiday feast, which I will be doing for, I think it's 14 people this year. I've got a little panic that I ordered my turkey too early, but we'll figure that out. And I have all of these different, I literally started listing all of the things out that I need. I just enjoy it already. I mean, for a week and a half out to be doing your shopping list for a meal shows that you're kind of into it. But there's pressure also. You know, you don't want to blow that one. You know, if you're successful all year and then you blow Thanksgiving for people who are coming in and people who, especially who aren't with their family and are turning to you to satisfy this emotional holiday, you blow that one, you're really, really screwed. So take some care and go through it. And even if you're just making one thing, nothing wrong also with going and taking a dry run. I made carrots the other night, these caramelized carrots, which were insanely good. And it was a preview. It was a little cheat, a little practice. It took a couple hours, but now I know what to do and what to expect when I go into it. And the rest of it is all from Thanksgiving past, one or two new things. So it's all dialed in, but it is a lot of work. This one, this is, for some reason, the weight of this and that everything has to come out at the same time. This is pressure. This is definitely, I do a huge thing on Christmas Eve as well, where we do the Feast of the Seven Fishes, and it's a big thing, and there's like lasagnas and all this other stuff. For some reason, that is more casual than what is going to happen on Thanksgiving. It is a stress-filled meal for sure. Doesn't mean you don't love it, doesn't mean you don't enjoy it, but you got to dial in and prepare. And I hope you do well wherever you go and whatever you do. This is a big celebration. Anything that you can tie into food and that much family, go for it. And I saw a couple snarky articles that were talking about the history of Thanksgiving or the real meaning of Thanksgiving, and even during the pandemic and all that, like, what does it really mean? You know what it means? It means shutting your face and being thankful for your life and for the people around you who you love. End of story. That's it. Just take one day out of the year and sit with the people you love and just be thankful. Don't make any more of it than it has to be. Just enjoy your life. All right, enjoy this interview. This is Fielding Edlow and Larry Clark, two very funny people. And as you'll see, we've all worked together in different capacities. But to sit down with them, and after seeing all of their videos and being fans of them, and then to sit and actually see it really unfold is hilarious, charming, funny. Great people. This will not be the last time that we sit down with them, for sure. So enjoy. Thank you so much for being here. I was running late because I was taking care of your breads.
Is it
put
warm?
Your hand on.
Are you
is it warm?
Kidding me?
Oh my
this
God.
This one I baked before the weekend, before I went out on the road. So it,
Are you
and then
kidding?
Froze it.
Oh.
So it should be good. This one just came out, and you can
feel
it.
This is like 102 degrees.
This is really hot. 500 degrees.
I'm very excited.
I've never felt so taken care of in my life.
Well, it was very funny.
Thank you.
Because I was like, oh, wait, I really need one bread. They're married.
Right.
And then I was like, and then I did like a deep dive into all your videos and stuff on Bitter Home and Gardens. And I was like, I don't know. They probably should have their own breads.
There's been no truer statement uttered. No truer statement. Yeah. We almost drove here separately.
Yeah. I thought that when I pulled in.
Yeah.
I was like, I wonder which two cars are theirs.
Yeah.
No, and most of the time we do, because he's like, I can't take on your energy like on the car ride. Because you get really nervous.
It was different this time. I said, we should go together and develop some kind of rapport before we go.
He did. He wanted to play tennis.
A lot of times, you know, like this morning she didn't talk to me. She was doing... You were doing
What's
meditating and hanging out.
Uh-huh.
Like, not talking to me. And then we'll go and do, like, a podcast. And she's like, oh. And then we kick in. And, like, it's like this pretend acting couple.
What did I do when I came over to you and we were about to? And I said, do you want a hug?
Yeah, she said, do you want to have a moment of togetherness
And then as soon as we hugged, you went like this. Is that enough? And I was like, I actually enjoyed it.
Well, that's kind of the funny dynamic that you have is... You're never really sure. It's let me try and describe it, and I'll be insulting to everybody. Watching it as someone who's been married for 21 years,
wow.
it's sometimes it's nails on a chalkboard accurate. Like so good. It's so funny.
And
there's so much to it. But the thing that's funny is you both go back and forth from being the needy one in the relationship.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's not set that you're going to be, like, watching the Chernobyl thing, and you're like, would you do that for me? And you're like, that whole episode, you're just like, go F yourself.
Right.
I can't handle you now.
Of course I wouldn't die for you. Like,
right.
Are you, please.
Yeah. But then it switches, and then then all of a sudden you're needy.
Yeah.
Which is so accurate in a relationship.
Right?
I mean, you don't see it with the breakneck speed that you guys have within like a 7-minute episode, but we'll go through like months where you're like, I just want to be with you. And then when she's like, I want to be with you, you're like, ugh, get off of me.
it's never really when you're on the same level a lot of the time. Like, I always feel like he'll be like, I think you love each other differently in different times too. Cause I'll look at him and be like, you fall more deeply in love with me every day. And he's like,
Absolutely not. Not at all.
I can't tell you how not true that is.
And also, we actually did this based on, you know, real quarantine, what happened to us. And it was crazy time. I mean, it was
But
weird.
We're like that. You know how some comedians have that joke where like, my life was the same, or it's like the same during the... And like, we were kind of the same too, like our relationship. I mean, it put a little bit of a stressor.
I mean, referring to the Chernobyl thing, I remember not watching Chernobyl because I was so depressed out of my brain.
Did you say Chernobyl or Chernobyl?
Why are you getting all lofty?
Sorry, Chernobyl.
Are we supposed to say sure?
No.
Is it like Iran?
Chernobyl. Chernobyl.
He has weird pronunciation.
I do.
Things.
I actually
like, he'll
say,
just say
weird,
really weird,
weird pronunciation.
I think.
Anyway, Chernobyl. I remember, and I was like, "Listen, it's the pandemic. I'm not watching the most depressing show on HBO. Was it Netflix?
HBO.
And I started hearing it, and she's like, "You have to watch this." And it kind of like that ominous soundtrack.
Yeah.
You hear people screaming. And so I just had to like take a pick. And then I looked in and I specifically avoided the first episode. And then it just got me. And I got so depressed, but at the same time, I couldn't stop watching it.
Uh-huh. Right.
And it
you
pervaded.
Get very affected. Like, he's really the actor where he takes on energy and he can't shake it off.
You're Irish?
Like, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not the
that,
opposite.
There's like, that you, yeah, it comes through in your acting, too. But there's that, like, that Irish poetry thing.
Angst.
Yeah, angst.
That's a nice way of putting it. I mean, like, nonstop storytelling, interminable pauses.
Yeah. And there was something about watching that on top of what this impending doom was. You remember their first reports of the COVID? They were like, hearing the first numbers, which depressed the hell out of me. They were like, 50,000 people are going to die. We're like, oh, come on. There's only 2,000 dead. They're like, no, 50,000. And I remember thinking of death just like marching across the stage. I was depressed out of my mind. And then I was watching Chernobyl and trying to connect to you. And it was
Connect to me. I don't know about that. Connect to me.
We were trying to find connections. We were trying to do things.
I guess.
It was tough, man.
You saw Chernobyl as a comedy?
Yeah, she's laughing.
I saw it as like almost Call My Agent or a nice little whimsical romp. I mean, the shooting of the dogs was horrible, but like...
There is that thing about... It's a funny combination of Jewish and Irish because the Jewish part of reflection and stuff, they do it so much better because... They have it, and it's angsty, and it's, and then let's eat, and then move on. And the Irish will kind of wade into those waters and then carry it for years.
Yeah. It never leaves.
Definitely.
No, it never leaves.
Yeah.
His family would tell stories, and they're still talking at 3 a.m. And I'm like, stop it. Like, why, do you think you're all so interesting?
Yeah.
Like, in the same stories.
No, we're complete opposites.
Yeah.
And I argue. All the time I Irish. I argue like an Irish Catholic family, like I was raised. Nice, good arguing. And she'll fall asleep in the middle of, like, she'll go to bed. In the middle of the argument, I go, what are you doing? She's like, I'm going to bed. Like, you can't go to bed right now.
And he still will spin and
I haven't made my point yet. As if we're still dating.
Like, it really affects him. I'm like, nobody's going anywhere. Why do you give a shit what I say to you?
She goes, we'll pick it up in the morning. Yeah. And I was like, and I don't sleep all night.
Yeah. I have that problem,
too. You can't shake it off.
I'm not good with conflict. So if there's...
I'm not either, really.
You can go to sleep?
No. I got into a thing with my daughter last night right before bed. And it was like, I literally was on my way to bed and we got into this kerfuffle and I just laid in, I was like, I really wanted to get to sleep early. I had stuff to do.
Yeah.
And I just laid there for 2 hours just going through scenarios in my head. I'm not good at
it. It's torture.
The arguing in your head, oh, forget about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But was your household fighty when you
were home? No, it was the silent scorn, simmering resentment go into other rooms.
Yeah, they shut down.
But I never saw my parents... fight and then resolve it.
Right.
Not once. Like, I never saw, like, all of our couples therapists is like, if you can just put your hand on his shoulder and be like, I love you. You're a great actor. You're good looking. You know what I mean? Like, you're the greatest actor of your generation.
Yeah.
And then he's like, are we going to pavilions? But it's like, for me, I'm really bad with conflict. I'm better
because your parents didn't have conflict.
It was always so much acrimony. It's like a live-in divorce.
Right.
But it's like it never just was this healthy, we're fighting, and then we dealt with it.
Right, right.
And no one apologized.
So you've been rebelling from that for years and finding your voice through
I swung
me.
To the extreme.
Through you.
Yeah.
Yes, right. She attacks me,
He got everything. Like, it was like this Pandora's box, and he's like, I am a woman, and I'm going to talk. And he's like, oh my God, why did I marry this?
I was raised this way. I can't argue like this.
That's why you bring up your mother in every fight. Yeah. Every single fight. I'm like, you're 57. Like, stop it.
What do you mean he brings up his mom?
He's like, I was raised by an angry woman.
Yeah. An abusive narcissist.
So were we all.
Was brilliant and disturbed, and it's given me issues until the day I passed.
How many kids?
There were five of us.
Five of you. Yeah. Yeah. And then you were in the middle somewhere?
I was the last.
No,
oh, you
the
were
youngest,
last.
Unfortunately for me.
I was mama's boy.
The baby.
I was the last one left in the house.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good combo, though.
Yes and no. I mean, yes.
If he remembers his place in line, it works.
Right, exactly.
So how do you decide to start making bitter homes?
That's a long story.
He's going to know. I'm going to distill it down to 3 cents.
No, don't. Give me the long version.
There was a night. She was asked.
I want to just say, because I know you get mad at me for saying this, I was commissioned.
No commission.
And I use that lightly. Well, it's a light commission. It was a light commission from Temple Israel. They're putting up a night on forgiveness.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. You probably have many Jewish, some Jewish listeners.
A ton.
I mean,
it's the forgiveness
millions
holiday.
Millions of people listen to this.
This is food and family.
Right,
yes,
of course. It's Tom Papa.
Yeah. What was the holiday?
It
was
Sliko.
Okay.
Never heard of it.
Right. I know. He's still, whatever, he just learned what Herosid is. So we, they're like, Fielding read one act on forgiveness.
Mm.
But other people wrote one act on like the IRA, like the Holocaust, stealing your grandmother's morphine. And we were like the palate cleanser or whatever. So we wrote,
and you were funny.
And we wrote erased Game of Thrones from the DVR.
Yeah. Literally, in this night of like crazy, I was hid in an attic in the Holocaust.
Right.
And we're like, why'd you erase Game of Thrones? And I don't give you enough blowjobs. Like, it was...
And they were just staring at us.
They were just staring.
The whole congregation was staring at us.
No, at the rehearsal, but then we got them on ours. You were so scared that we were going to, like, break Judaism that in the rehearsal, he goes like this, can you just I'm going to just slip in a monologue.
I would.
Just like a poignant monologue. Because
I would go, just to give it some weight.
Yeah.
I would go, and at that moment, I really looked at my wife and I thought, I got to really consider the impact on this relationship and my past and how I'm... And then
you wedged a moth story.
Yeah, exactly.
Your funny thing.
Like,
to try to justify, because it's just a silly sketch. That's all it was.
It was the stupidest thing in the world.
So stupid.
And then I had a monologue. I mean, it was whatever.
It did not. Well, sort of. The rabbi loved it.
No, I think it did great.
The rabbi came back.
I can't remember. We were in a blackout. I think it did.
I loved it. He goes, my wife and I argue like this.
He just came running. The head rabbi came running after us and was like, it was very nice.
And then a friend of ours, who turned out to be our producer and editor and director,
yeah.
He goes, I want to do a short film of this.
Yeah.
And it was called DVR. And so we shot that.
It's just us watching Game of Thrones.
And then we started getting in. So like only because of him, he started submitting it into festivals. And we started winning and getting into these festivals.
Okay, let's not be so
stubborn.
We got into Palm Springs.
We got into Palm Springs Film Festival. Ridiculous.
It's not con.
Short. It's a ridiculous
short. It was great. It was fun.
Yeah.
And they were the heaviest, most overproduced shorts. Like people coming all over the world.
Right.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And they're very serious. And then our stupid little
Wedged in between like a girl dying of anorexia and like someone else.
And suicide.
Like,
and then ours.
And then ours. And then like,
and but we were like a darling of, Palm Springs?
Palm Springs.
Yeah.
Because the people that were running it were like, oh, God, that's the silly little one.
Yeah.
That doesn't,
right. Yeah, relief.
And like
that,
you were
it's a
saying,
relief that we didn't take ourselves seriously.
Yeah, right.
So anyway, and then a friend of ours.
I was in a writer's group. He's there as an actor. As a writer. And they were like, we want to do this. Like, we want to produce this.
Right.
Can you write? And then he kind of said it was like an insult/compliment. He's like, you're best with like 8-minute things. Like, let's just keep it 8 minutes, right?
He was right, though.
And I remember I was like, I'm Aaron Brockovich. I can write a half hour. No, and he's like, no, 8 minutes.
You don't want us anymore.
Nobody
than
can take us
seven,
longer than 8 and a half minutes. Don't you think? Like, it's a lot.
Yeah.
It's annoying.
Yeah, because it's really funny. But there's some realism to the marital tension. So then you gotta ditch. It's if you were at a cocktail party, you would turn and go talk to someone else, and then come back.
Right. That's such an apt analogy. It's like you just turn and get your Virgin Cape Cotter and then come back.
Most of it's based on real arguments.
I don't know. It's like pages from my diary.
Yeah.
Everything.
I mean,
really.
Everything.
All of it.
I have an imagination, but a lot of stuff is pretty real.
The delivery guy.
I mean, not the delivery guy.
Did you have crushes on people like Amazon drivers or something?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Just the entire fire department.
I think that she used that as a tool. She used that as a literary.
I'd be like, can I start a fire in the kitchen? Just because Kawanga guys. No.
We had one guy come to the house and work on something, on some shelves or something. And I was on the road and my wife's like, I got a text from the shelf guy. He was at a bar.
Oh, God. Oh, my God.
And I'm like,
hot.
Yeah, how about we don't respond to that guy?
Oh,
and she's like, you think he's hitting on me? I'm like, I think he's hitting on you.
I would say, yeah.
Yeah.
The shelf guy. And it's in her phone as shelf guy. But he's at Barney's Beanery being like, want to shoot some pool?
Yeah.
Come by and
good for your wife.
Yeah, good for her.
Good for her.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, it's great.
She told you.
No, it's great.
I don't think you would have told me.
This is a cool story. I had Harold Ramis. I had a tiny scene in Analyze That.
Mm.
And Harold Ramis was the director and so cool. And it's a wonderful day. Great. With De Niro. Like,
wow.
Perfect. I get a call from him like a couple months after that, it came out. And he said, I have a great idea for a TV show and I want you to host it. I was like, holy shit. Okay, this can be great. It's called Pimp My Wife. And we go in and we give the wife a makeover and we like help her out, like jazz everything up and refresh everything. And then we put her in a bar setting and the husband has to watch from the monitors and see how the wife is a valid sexual being wanted by the world.
What happened?
That's a disaster.
It went nowhere.
Yeah, no way.
I never heard from him again.
Was like,
one conversation.
No. I'm like running out of here to watch it. That's amazing.
It would be pretty good.
I think that's kind of genius.
I know.
And they're a little bit hot. Like, because you always said, if we're going to have a threesome, I'll stay in the closet. Which feels a little strange in a way, because you're like, why are you such a pussy? You don't want to be there. And you're like,
who's the other? Is it a male or a female?
Yeah. He'd allow me with a woman.
Right.
When we first started going out, like, she would talk about threesomes, because her act was really racy. And,
right.
And she's a very, you talk a pretty big game. And then when we started going out, I was like, so what about that threesome thing?
I know, and I was like, I'll shampoo your hair. Like, really, I'm just like this prude being like, I'll shampoo your hair.
How do we go about doing it? Like, we're both sober.
Yeah, it's going to be awkward.
You can't really do anything like that without having some wine or something.
No, you've got to be drunk.
Maybe with your bread, I feel like we could have some.
That could happen. You have enough bread for another person,
for
sure.
No, this is amazing, by the way.
I don't think that's
going to... You know his thing is bread.
No, I love
it.
I have a thing in my act where I'm like, if you had to choose between, like, never having sex with me again and giving up. You see, I didn't even let me finish.
Oh, yeah,
and, like,
man.
He literally turns into like Jack Nicholson and A Few Good Men. Like, don't ask me questions you don't want the answer to.
Yeah, literally.
He's like,
good. Well, I really want to know because,
really
like I said,
thing,
this one was frozen, so it's going to be, it's good. It should be fresh. It'll cut up.
No, Tom,
now.
I've been seeing this.
You're delivering bread on Instagram.
Yeah.
I've been seeing this over the months.
And all right, good.
I'm very excited.
All right.
Get my hands on it.
I'm telling you, this is a national treasure.
Let me know how you like it. And don't try and save it for Thanksgiving. It won't
be. No, it's tonight.
Yeah, eat it.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, no,
just eat it like an apple.
Oh, no, he will. He's going to scamper away.
Who cooks at home?
Tender greens?
Yeah. Nobody?
He cooks.
You do?
Yeah. I cook. Yeah.
I don't enjoy it.
No, you don't like cooking.
I bake.
You do?
I like to bake.
Oh, this is your banana. And you gave me banana bread.
Yes. Or your daughter, your wife. It's for you.
Oh, this is very good. Yeah. No, they're not going to get it.
Okay. Oh, okay. Well, you're in late at night.
Yeah. So you like to bake? What else do you bake?
A lot of muffins.
Yeah.
Pumpkin muffins, banana bread, a chocolate. I just baked a cake for the first time. Like, my mom used to bake, like, poppy seed cake, and that would always be, her thing. So our daughter would be like, you never bake me a cake.
Oh.
And I was like,
how old is she?
Nine. And then she's like, literally, let's set aside a day and you can bake me. And I was like, okay.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, it was
really
a milestone,
great.
You know.
How'd it come out?
I think
it wasn't
that
good. No, it was
pretty
dry.
Rude.
It was a little dry.
He's so rude. He'll always be like, it's dry. It's really
well,
dry.
If he doesn't say it, he's going to have to eat dry cake the rest of his life.
No, it was your first kind of foray into a cake,
but my muffins are delicious.
Your muffins are very good.
Yeah,
and she's very good at muffin and banana bread. She's very good at that.
No one's, it's not sustenance, but the only annoying, really, truly annoying thing is I literally put on I don't know if you do this in your marriage, it kind of saved us, the shared apple cow, where I'll be like, Larry buys a salmon, cooks the salmon, and then there's this alert, second alert to
to remind him to do
so
it.
Yeah, so I don't have to literally say it to him.
Oh, you know, my wife, she barely knows how to make a call with the phone.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So the idea
great.
Of sharing, like she, it's all handwritten calendars with a quill pen.
She's sending a homing pigeon.
Yeah. There's no way like I could.
So she's not really on social media.
No.
Oh,
Instagram only.
I love that.
Yeah.
But you've been married for a longer time than us. So
what are you, 10?
13.
We're 13. Yeah. With a 9-year-old.
I'm getting a really respectful vibe. Though,
yeah.
Between you and
yeah.
Your wife.
You've really. Yeah.
Oh, I thought you meant me towards you.
I always feel that way. You wear suits.
No, you obviously have a good marriage.
I feel that.
Yeah.
You've got a good marriage. You're.
I think I have an excellent marriage.
Yeah. You've successfully raised your children.
Yeah.
You've stayed together. It's been how many years?
21.
If you're listening.
Well, that's okay.
21.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's significant, and it's like.
You think I'm done?
You might be.
No, I think you're the new Tom Hanks and Rita Wilson. I think that's amazing. But I think you should do the show.
I think you have to
I think she'd be the darling of this series, your wife.
Of what?
Pimp My Wife.
Of Pimp My Wife? No, she's not going to do that.
Yeah.
I'm not going
to.
No, she would love it.
Of course. She'll
die. Yeah.
She obviously threw out. I'm not trying to start trouble.
She was
just saying. She put on makeup and like something was going on there a little bit.
Take
a tiny bit.
With the carpentry dude?
Please. Or maybe she threw out a joke.
No, get out of here.
You know, this is why I don't trust any of these. Any person that comes to your home to do anything. And with the top of the list is probably personal trainer.
Oh, definitely.
Like, there's no way. Like, we have a no personal trainer of the opposite sex.
Oh, they're the horniest people on the planet.
Yeah,
they're
come
like,
on.
Let's hike into the mountains, and then we'll get lost and have to fend our way back.
She went to see a healer on her honeymoon.
Yeah.
Healer. Well, a male healer.
The post-ranch shaman.
He was a shaman.
The post-ranch shaman. Which isn't shaman.
Totally hitting
he's
on
like
her.
A weekend.
You know what he did? He took a deer skin and laid it over her.
Nether regions.
Yeah, her nether regions.
I was close.
What?
And then said, you can keep this for later. It's like a very healing.
He goes, I've never given anyone my deer skin, but I'm going to give this to you.
He put it over your crotch?
Yeah.
Yeah. On our honeymoon.
And then he goes, but if you want to, you can mail it back to me.
What?
Yeah. I mean, this guy, he's just trying.
You know what's so funny? You just triggered a memory.
Oh, really?
On our honeymoon.
Oh.
We were in Mexico at this, like, eco resort, and they had a temescal, which is one of those, like, igloo things that they fill with wood and they create a fire and you go in there, it's like a sweat lodge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there was like they killed a bunch of people in like Arizona doing this, right?
Right, yes.
And we had this guy who was like the shaman of the resort and he was hitting on my wife. And he was like, I get these impressions from people. And he turned to me and he was like, I'm feeling humor from you. You like to make people laugh. I was like, oh, he's got some skills. And I go back to the room and I look at myself in the mirror. I'm wearing a Comedy Central baseball hat.
Oh my God. They're so sleazy.
And we're in the Temescal. We're in there sweating. Yeah. And it's an endurance thing. Like you're supposed to just.
Yeah.
You're sitting in the sand. It's 1,000 degrees. There's like, you know, 20 people
crazy
in there. And I'm like, I start having like an allergy attack. It's like snot is coming out of my nose.
Horrifying.
And I go to like wipe it off. And now I got sand face from having my sand.
Oh my God.
And I'm just like, what am I doing? Like, there's nothing stopping me from leaving this.
Right.
Why do I have to get through this?
Right,
like the shaman said.
Oh my God.
And I
hilarious
just start crawling out because it's very low. So you have to crawl.
Whoa.
I crawled around the fire and my wife is sitting there Indian style and she sees me crawling past her and she's like, what about, wait, the shaman said we have to stay? I'm like, I'll see you at the pool.
Oh my, that was really bold.
Oh, there's no way.
That's hysterical. They really want the women. Do you know what he said?
And then
to
he
me
had his opportunity.
No,
anyway,
he said to me also in our session, he goes, I just want you to know, I don't know why, but I'm feeling like you're going to Broadway.
Going to Broadway.
Acting and writing.
Oh,
like that specific. And I was like,
say that again.
I'm going to be Wendy Wasserstein. He's like, I just feel Broadway. And he said something else really like amazing.
Yeah.
And then we would see him and Larry was so pissed off. He's like, there's your shaman. Go fuck your shaman.
Yeah, we had an argument on our honeymoon.
Yeah.
I'm surprised.
Oh, yeah, no,
surprise.
We had a huge fight. And then I found weird porn on your computer. So, yeah, that was fun.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
On the honeymoon?
It wasn't weird porn. It was normal porn.
It's a weird honeymoon.
I mean.
I was looking up a hike and I see,
porn.
Yeah.
I mean, oh, surprise, surprise.
Like,
on a guy's computer, she found porn.
I know.
Oh,
I was like,
shocking.
No, but literally, I was like, this is how disorganized he is. He couldn't even put it into a folder so I wouldn't see it. It's like just on his desktop.
I wasn't hiding it.
It's so old school. It's so old school to like collect it too.
Right. Yeah, he was like, I don't know what you do, but like, I was like, I mean, we're not that couple that watch porn.
It's
together.
Like catching his DVD collection.
Yeah, yeah, totally. It was like Bang Brothers, but in the DVD or whatever. I have like one reference to porn.
My so husband funny watches porn. Oh my God.
Horrors. So who's going to make Thanksgiving dinner? How's that run?
A friend of ours is inviting us over.
Oh, that's
thank
good.
God we got
you don't
host.
Listen, I was raised. I wasn't raised. I was, first of all, when I think of Thanksgiving and Christmas, I think of
try not
big
to be so negative about your
Catholic, get, you know, Irish Catholic get-togethers, and it's depressing. I get very depressed around the holidays.
You do?
With a lot of stress.
Mostly Christmas. Right. You're okay.
A lot of stress. So as I've gotten older, I like to simplify.
Your body language and, is not very good right now.
Thank you, because I'm crossing my arms.
I'm creating your own stress.
And he's hugging himself.
And then I worked in the food industry for a long time.
Oh, geez.
So I served Thanksgiving. I was a private waiter on Thanksgivings. So now that I'm not doing any of that, I like to chill.
Yeah. We go to his brothers. Holidays. We go to his brothers in Echo Park, and it's lovely.
And I'm lovely. They do all the cooking.
Yeah, or it's Jones,
maybe you clean
or it's Jones
a little.
On Third. Yeah.
I clean a little.
Yeah.
But, I
just, you know.
Ugh. What are you guys doing?
I host.
Oh.
I cook.
Good for you.
And you probably really enjoy it, and it's
I do.
Yeah.
My whole, last night I started making the list of all the things I need and what to get, and I get into it.
You were getting into it.
Are you thinking about the rub?
I'm thinking about the dry brine. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So do you do, and then I have all of it?
I'm kind of panicking because there is a turkey shortage.
Yes.
And I pre-ordered it, and then they want me to pick it up 2 days earlier than it normally was. Oh. And I'm like, what am I going to do with this turkey for 2 days before?
Empty your fridge out?
Yeah, right. And will it keep? Like, will it just keep in the fridge that long? I don't know.
So that's a little unnerving.
I'm a little panicky.
Do you do the thing that everyone does? I don't know why this is like a du jour thing, but people like do potluck. Like, are you those people who are like...
Everybody brings something?
So they're catering your Thanksgiving?
I get annoyed I get kind of annoyed. Like, when someone's like, we brought sweet potatoes.
Right.
I'm like, I made sweet potatoes.
Right. You're like a fern or a ficus or something like pellegrino?
Yeah.
Oh, so you're put off a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. It's a nice group, though. It's like it's a couple comedians and some friends, and like all our family's East Coast.
It's a manageable number.
So yeah,
People fly in for this.
My parents will fly in intermittently before the choir.
Yeah.
They would come out, but they're not. They'll probably come next year. So no direct family.
Okay.
So on this one, which is pretty cash.
Sounds cash.
Yeah.
It'll be great.
It'll be good.
Yeah.
The whole key is to really get everything done and then just get hammered.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
I have some some big magnums of wine that are that I've been waiting because we didn't have Thanksgiving last year, so they've been around.
Yes.
And I'm just going to.
How wonderful.
Yeah.
It's a time to celebrate.
We're going to rub little CBD lotion on our elbows because that's all we can do. Just a little bit on our cuticles, a little CBD. He just said to me, I don't know, I'm not doing weed gummies. And I'm like, that's a slip. But, you know.
I'm not doing weed gummies?
He wanted to do
It's one of his sponsors.
Yeah.
Just joking. We love
I was listening to your show and I was.
Oh, I didn't know that was a sponsor.
I listened to your show. I was listening
I always listen to your podcast.
I was listening. Listen to Billy.
Who's a new one?
One with Billy Gardell.
Who's in your thing?
Yeah, he's my old, buddy.
Oh, he's so great.
But my friend too now.
Okay, he's your friend too now.
We actually were arguing outside then, about who knew you better.
Oh, who knew
me?
Really?
Yeah, we were arguing.
But then I was like, clearly you. Okay. Billy's great.
Anyway, I heard the CBD commercial. And I went, I'd like to get some of those gummies. I don't know.
The dad grass.
Yeah,
it's
I want
like
some of that.
It's kind of in between. It's like if you don't want to get really high,
exactly,
but you want a little something.
You could just meditate.
I want to try to find
really
do that and be
something.
Sober at the same time. It's kind of hard to do that.
Yeah, they really. It's like a clove almost. It's it gives you like. You stand in the yard and smoke, and you're like, I'm cool again.
Yes.
This is totally dad grass.
I love clove cigarettes.
I miss the act of just smoking per se, but just that act would be, and they'd be like, and then my bitchy friends at Penn would be like, here, like, and we were like,
yeah.
You know, like, I miss that.
I was wondering the other night if smoking, if we were getting so far from people smoking in everyday life, like the numbers have gone down so much, will smoking continue to be cool on film?
Oh, that's interesting.
No. I don't think it's already strange.
I think that's a really
It looks strange when people light up for me.
It is a weird thing. It's like when they do a VCR or TiVo.
Yeah.
You're like, what are you
doing? Then again, during quarantine, seeing group scenes in movies, I was kind of like, hey, everybody, back off. There's a lot of people in this room.
I know.
But Tom's totally right about that. Like when we see when Carrie's lighting up in Sex and the City, I'm like,
It almost seems silly now.
It seems silly.
It dates you. Yeah.
Alcohol in a rocks glass, still sexy.
That's sexy.
Coffee, still makes me want it.
Triggering. What is not sexy?
Triggering.
Triggering in a good way.
Sanka's triggering.
Vaping is not sexy.
Vaping is so not sexy.
I still don't even understand
They exhale in
so
a huge stream
and their weird paraphernalia.
Oh,
look like a clown?
Like your head explodes.
Are you going to like set a dove on fire? Like, what is happening?
Yeah, that'll never be cool.
That's never going to be cool.
Never be cool.
But no. Yeah.
My daughter said that they are all into... the kids that do it, they take the disposable ones.
Oh.
They're not even into the jewels and stuff. It's like these disposable vape things.
Oh.
They all do those. And hardly anyone smokes cigarettes.
I think that the cigarettes are probably a little more healthy than those things. I don't
really?
Know.
Really?
Yeah,
you
I do.
Don't know. You'd like to
I think those. I think those things are dangerous.
Yeah, the popcorn lung and all that stuff.
Yeah,
yeah.
Just putting hot oil vapor into your lungs.
Might be more toxic.
Well, it's what ignites it. That's the. They can't have figured that out yet. How to actually get it going and make it safe, the steam safe.
Right.
Right.
I do like a cigar. A nice cigar once in a while. Mm.
That's nice.
You know.
Yeah.
Like it's very offensive, and everyone. Wants to be away from you.
Yeah, I use cigars to get off cigarettes.
I almost left him when he did a talk back after a play he did on streamers.
Uh-huh.
And he has a cigar in a talk back.
It was unlit.
An unlit cigar. And I literally wanted
it
to die.
Me.
No, I wanted
get that.
And even my brother, who's the nicest guy, like my brother is the least judgmental, he's like, yeah, it was pretty annoying.
I totally
like,
get it.
You know
I get both sides.
Like,
of that.
I don't know. No,
I get totally
really,
get both sides.
Really? Yeah. I mean, I was like, what's going
better
through
than
his
lighting
brain?
It? I mean, I don't
my
know.
My father gave me a cigar and he was like, have you smoked the cigar I gave you? I was like, no. And I was on the road and I was like, oh, it's in my bag. And I took it out and I didn't have time to smoke it. But I just walked around all day with it. Yeah.
But you walked around. It wasn't like,
well
here's the thing
high.
About my character in this David Rabe play.
I was a stranger in a strange town. It's like if people thought I was a douche, I wasn't going to hear it.
Right, exactly. Yeah. It was a bottom. It was a bottom.
Which play was Streamers?
Streamers was the play about Vietnam. He wrote three Vietnam plays. This one was directed by Mike Nichols, done in 75. And it was about, I mean, it's most one of his most successful plays. It won, almost won the Pulitzer.
And you did the revival
Tony.
In like 2000.
I did the revival at the Roundabout,
Oh, wow. At the Roundabout.
And as soon as he got, because I think secretly, both of us, because you're talking about being needy, like, we're both afraid the other one's going to leave the other one if you get really successful.
If you get really big?
Yeah, if you get really... So I get the call that he has it. I'm on the 10, and I'm Googling streamers. If women are in it...
Yeah, like, she's like, do you have any sex
scenes? On the 10, risking my life to see if other women characters...
Because she knew I was going to be in New York for like 6 months.
And I'm like, he's going to leave me for like, Britney.
I was like, it's a barracks.
And then he goes, it's a barracks. Dudes. And I was like, woohoo, everyone at the Edendale Grill tonight. Like,
then you
Larry's
turn into
gone.
An artist. You're like, well, I appreciate that.
Yeah. And I'm like, you're doing the work.
Oh, sex man, scenes. What a cool thing, though, to do something at the Roundabout. Like,
that was really cool. That was a great gig.
That was really something.
Was great.
That's a special place.
Yeah, and I had to go to L.A. to get it. You know what I mean? Like, not when I lived in New York.
Of course,
I couldn't get into the Roundabout at all.
I saw John C. Reilly.
True West.
True West, right. Yeah,
that was amazing. I saw that, too.
Yeah. Oh, you did.
I forget who was playing who.
They switched all the time.
Yeah.
But that was extraordinary. Like,
it really
I didn't
was.
Love. I was just thinking. So I'm reading the Mike Nichols biography, which is amazing. I don't know if you've read it.
No.
But they were talking about the Seagull and like the Philip Seymour Hoffman, which I didn't love to be honest. But I do remember when it was the right fit. Like I feel like with Philip Seymour Hoffman playing Death of a Salesman, he was like too young to play.
Right.
This is terrible casting.
Right. You know what he was so good in? I just saw Mr. Ripley, The Town of Mr. Ripley, with a young Matt
Damon. I
want
to see that again.
They're all so good. And they're all so young and so, like, they're all just...
Beautiful.
Yeah, beautiful.
Yeah.
But he really was a sensation.
Yeah.
His energy when he came in.
Yeah.
Wow. He was just filled with emotion and he was funny and...
Yeah.
He's extraordinary.
Just in everyday life or on stage?
In everyday life, he was kind of that way too. But I thought what he brought to that film was unique.
Yeah.
His energy, when he enters the film, it just changes the whole...
When it's the right
because
fit.
He brings the air of suspicion in.
Right.
He's the first guy that calls him on it. You know?
Yeah.
He's like, what's up with you, dude?
And he's... Yeah.
What's up with you? Why are you wearing those clothes? What's going on with that? How are you doing? It's bullshit.
He does a really
total
good
bullshit.
It's a really good
imitation.
One.
Yeah, he does a good imitation.
Yeah, I used to do it to Phil. I used to do it to
Phil. Really?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he left him a voicemail that my mother makes Larry do every fucking Thanksgiving. He's like, please do the Philip Seymour Hoffman voicemail.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well,
Phil was a friend of mine.
Literally, it's like why I stay married to him, because he does a great Philip Seymour Hoffman.
And then we worked together once, and he directed me in a play, and we hated each other.
For real?
Oh, I couldn't stand him.
Why?
He's a horrible director.
This is terrible. I mean,
Well, no, he did was put me down.
It's okay.
He put me down and pushed me, made really? Fun of me. He's like, oh, you're going to do that? Is that what you're going to do? Are you going to like hold your coffee cup like that? Blah, blah, blah.
No.
And I was like, dude, I'm playing detective. Like, what do you want me to do? Not hold the
and
coffee
do the
cup?
Thing was, your, with
was,
the your, pictures.
Was it one of those things like if I get him in this
yes,
like a Hitchcockian?
He liked to do that. Right? He liked to push actors.
Yeah.
He'd make fun
upset
of you,
them.
Upset them, and he would question your choices. And I was like, I don't like this at all.
I mean, he was a tortured
that's how
guy.
Yeah.
Like he was
that's
hard.
How he approached his process.
Right.
But he would always go, so stupid. Why am I doing that? It's a stupid
right.
job. He would write
Which,
stuff all over his scripts, and he would beat
creativity.
Himself up.
Oh, really?
And I don't think he really ever enjoyed
yeah.
himself.
Didn't
I just think
well,
he
obviously.
Beat
yeah.
himself up all the time to this state where he could get to these incredible levels of performance. But
yeah.
I think they were all, it was all shrouded in negativity. And once I kind of got a glimpse of that with him directing me, I was like, I will never work with this guy ever again.
But
and I loved
the,
him. I mean,
one,
I really loved him as a
sure.
person.
Yeah.
And I was like, get me out of here.
Yeah.
Like,
then
you
that one day when you were like, you're like, fuck, you just kind of left. Like, you were angry, and he knew you were angry.
Yeah, he knew,
like,
well,
it
he,
turned.
You
right.
could tell. He was doing these impossible note sessions where he would be like, all right, and Larry, I don't know what you're doing. I mean, I gave you a note. You were doing it last week, and then you stopped it. Like, I don't know what you're going to do. But anyway.
But he would imitate you in mean ways.
Yeah,
like,
he'd
make
fun
of the pictures like
he'd
this.
Make fun
oh
of me.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, listen, dude, this is – I'm trying to be, like, a good actor.
Yeah.
And respectful of our relationship and just, you know – and I'm like, listen, this is a simple character. I'm playing a detective
right.
in Georgia. And Anna Paquin is playing
and
the
everyone's
serial
staring
killer.
Everyone's staring at Jeff Donovan
right,
anyway.
Right?
Yeah.
And I'm putting out the pictures. This is a really simple scene. I don't understand why you're having such a big deal with
yeah.
Like, I can play a cop.
Right.
You know
right.
what I mean?
Yeah.
But he had this thing. And I can't even describe what
it
was. But we knew it was like oil and water with us. We could just...
Mm-hmm.
It was like, wow. And I don't know whether it was competitiveness or... I wasn't competitive with him. I was really open to kind
maybe
of learning.
Yeah.
But he just had this way of needling. And it bugged the hell out of
would
me.
Would he do
and
it to everybody? Or
he did it to everybody.
He did it to everybody.
Oh, yeah,
so
yeah.
Was just his
but
thing.
Then he apologized.
No,
he
but
left
he,
this
he, he's trying to get to this message he left because I kept it for a number of years.
He,
yeah.
he kept it for 20 years.
Yeah.
I didn't keep it for 20 years, but I kept, it was on my answering machine.
Yeah.
And I got home because I was pretty pissed at him. And I hit the machine and he would go, hey.
He's doing a cookie.
And he goes, hey, it's Phil. And he goes, hey, Larry, listen, I know you left today and you're a little, I don't know, pissed off or something. And he goes, sorry, I'm eating peanut butter crackers.
Isn't that adorable?
And then he goes, I just, adorable? You know, I want this to be really fucking great. And you're great. And I want this whole night to be great. And I just want that, you know.
Leave me alone.
Right.
Yeah.
Be nicer.
Yeah, be nicer.
Yeah.
Be
nicer.
Why don't you leave me a message?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah, so I'll get there on my own. I
yeah.
can do it.
And so I saw Larry in this play, but I didn't remember him. And I went because of Phil, because I had this crush on
yeah,
Phil.
She saw
oh, this
play.
Before you met?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was called The Glory of Living. It was 2001.
Yeah.
And she saw that production.
Yeah.
No,
oh, and Phil was also in it.
Yeah.
No, Phil
oh, no,
directed
he wasn't in it.
He just
but
directed
I was hoping
it.
To maybe get a glimpse
right,
of the
to see the director
and
his
he was there every night.
Right.
Ridiculous.
No, he was there every night, and he wished he could keep directing. He was so angry
mm-hmm.
that Equity made him stop directing.
Why?
Because you can't give notes after opening night.
Oh,
he wanted,
it's over, right?
Was,
you can't change.
And he was like, I can't believe I have to stop giving notes.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
You're really, there with a peanut butter cracker. Too bad for you.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. And then
one, nutter butter.
Oh, one night,
sorry,
our last preview, he walked out. He left the
wow.
theater. And
he's tortured.
Yeah, so tortured. To see the director
so
leave the building, you're like, what kind of a douchebag are you, man?
Oh, man.
Like, stay there
so
and
you
take
saw
it.
The, you saw,
I saw that.
And then when you guys hook up and you mentioned that you saw it,
yeah.
and he's...
I think we found out. We also think we were on the same M86 crosstown bus when I was going to high school. He was going to his, like, Gracie's catering job.
Oh, really?
And he thinks I was
we
like,
crossed
ew,
our
I'm not
staying
next to him.
Yeah.
Like, I was, like, 16 and grossed out by him.
Yeah. I was like, hey, little girl.
Yeah, and I was like going to like
in about
Trinity
10 years,
yeah.
you're going to meet me.
And my prince is going to be a balding middle-aged character actor, a little
and
Irish
show pony. And I'm going to try and convince you I was in a play that you saw.
Yeah.
And you're going to really be in the director. You really want to be with the director, you're really going to marry me.
Right. And I think then when I,
but I'll imitate him, so it'll be cool.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to laugh.
We didn't hang out. I almost ran you over once in LA. There was a time when I was like going down Santa Monica's a rainstorm, and I kind of knew you, and you were
darting. She almost killed me.
And then I almost ran him over, and then we looked at each other. It was really weird.
Really?
Well, we were going to the same reading night. It was raining, and I turned around. I'm in a crosswalk, and you didn't stop. And she almost killed me.
Oh my God. In New York City. I didn't drive. And so we're like, look at each other.
That's supposed to stop for people.
Yeah. I was like, you stop for me.
And I think my guardian angel jumped out and stopped the car. Uh-huh. Because they were like, wait, they're supposed to get married and have a kid.
Right.
That kid has
yet. No, they're supposed to make a digital web series that two people are going to watch.
Yes. And they're going to be on Tom Papa's broadcast and talk about it.
I know, it's one of the biggest things we've ever done.
16 years.
So yeah, we did, but then I had this one woman show, which did okay. And then I followed it up with Strindberg's Miss Julie in the middle of Hollywood, which I was like, good marketing skills. Yeah. And then my director's like, Larry Clark's a great actor. He should be your Jean.
And I did Jean with her.
That's when we started dating.
In 2006?
Okay. Yeah.
And we did Miss Julie in the middle of Hollywood.
Where he tells me to kill myself at the end of it.
Why would we do that play?
Yeah. Right.
And by the way, he kept being like this, I don't know if I can do it fielding. I'm on hold at the Geffen for all my sons. I don't think I can do it. Like, he kept saying that. I said
you need an understudy because I can easily get something.
But I'm a little bit psychic, and I was like, you're not going to get it. Like, we're supposed to do Miss Julie together.
I'm going to put the whammy on you and make sure you don't get it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't get it. I didn't get it. Right. Yeah, I didn't get it.
You didn't get it. Yeah. So then we did.
But it was a depressing play, and we did it, and that's where we started going out.
Yeah.
That's cool. Well, that's what kids in Hollywood want, those kind of plays.
Yeah, Miss Julie. Any Strindberg
I really
play.
Had my finger on the pulse.
Strindberg,
they were like,
hot.
And like all our friends, you know when your friends like kind of have to come?
Yes.
Like those events where they're like, so we're coming Friday night.
Right.
You know, and they don't want to, and it's so awkward.
There's nothing worse than like a bad play.
The hostage situation.
I think we were okay. I mean,
I think we did a
good job.
Yeah.
I think we entertained
people. He got one of the best
people.
Reviews of his life from the Toluca Times.
Toluca Times, yeah.
Literally, it was like,
I can't find it anymore. I've done a search on it.
Was it at that theater there on
Lillian Theater?
Yeah.
Right, yeah,
the elephant.
Yeah.
Do you miss doing plays?
I do.
Yeah.
Plays do you do the best. You did theater?
I did when I was in school.
Mm-hmm.
And I just did everything.
You did?
That was my...
You sing?
No.
Okay.
No.
Me neither.
The only musical I auditioned for was Little Shop of Horrors.
Oh.
And the director, I was the lead in all of the plays from when I showed up as a freshman. I was like, just loved it and into it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I walked into the audition for Little Shop of Horrors, and he's like, how about being the puppeteer inside the plant? I'm like, really? I want to be Seymour. And he's like, no.
I don't like that.
You can't sing. I'm like, yeah, you're right. I'll go inside the plant.
Right.
So I would just,
musical, right?
I just sat on in
oh,
there.
Because
yeah.
you wanted to be on stage.
I just did the puppet. Yeah,
humble singing. Work in the wings.
But I do miss, I really do miss, and it's been, you know, almost 30 years now of not doing a play.
Yeah.
But that thing of like being with everybody.
It's like a very little dream of your agent's going to be like, this is weird, but the Neil Abute has something I think you'd be perfect for. Would that be a dream?
Yeah. You know, when you just said the roundabout, it's like, oh.
I know.
I have no sights on it. I haven't been thinking about trying to do any of that. But when you hear it, you're like, oh, yeah, that's what you're supposed to be doing.
I know. I got so jaded, though, doing it.
Yeah.
Like 8 shows a week, and you do it for a couple of months, and by the end,
you're like,
get me the hell out of here.
Yeah.
We used to say a joke. We go, what's the crowd look like out there? And they go, oh, round about 80.
Everybody's
got strollers and wheelchairs, and you hear the hearing aids going off all
my
over
98-year-old
the place.
Grandmother saw him twice because it was like dicks everywhere in the locker room, and she's like a man eater. Like,
she came
in the front row because she had the hearing thing, and she loved it.
But like the dream of doing the Broadway stage. And you know, being discovered and all that stuff, I don't even know. I got that out of my system. I was like, it's like.
But you really miss you. It's your favorite thing in the world.
I like performing on the stage, but I don't miss New York and that grind.
Right.
Right.
If you can come in now as somewhat and you just get the role, and
you could do the MC in cabaret, yeah. The portly MC plan. In the cabaret.
Mm-hmm. That was the plan, you know, to become right. famous out here and then get offered roles on Broadway.
Right.
Okay. You know, that hasn't
right.
exactly right. happened.
Well, not yet, maybe.
Oh, yeah, it's coming.
Well, why don't you think abundantly?
Okay, yes, it's happening. I would love to do that, but I've gotten right. lazy in a way. Like, mm-hmm. I want, you know, you do a movie, and then it's done, and it kind of lives, your performance kind of lives up there.
Forever.
And you're like, oh, just press the button
and watch
that.
But you do better when you're busy and in a play.
It's true.
You do better.
I was raised you know? On the stage. I love the stage.
You're better when you're...
I'm a decent film stuff, actor. Yeah. I think I'm a much better stage actor.
I completely agree.
You do?
Yep.
Yeah.
I do. I am.
No, you're great on film, but I think that, like, you're... Larry Clark is meant to be on
this face. Right.
That's the nicest thing I've said.
You're not supposed to be close to this big Irish face on a screen.
That's what you and Billy Gardell were talking about when he did yours. He's like, look at these big heads just right. in the laptop. Like,
well, Billy's like, big head. Big heads are good.
Yeah. He's always saying that.
I know.
And then you have Koechner come in, right. another giant person.
Oh, that's right.
I know.
Another giant person.
I know. We don't. And Eric Edelstein, we had like tons of like giant people. And I was like this little like garden gnome, this Yiddish right. garden gnome. And I was like, I'm sorry to breathe.
Yeah. And yet tougher than all of them.
Right.
Yes.
Everyone
was afraid of you.
I think they were.
Yeah. You're like a coiled snake.
When you said in the one video that it's been 8 months. We haven't mm-hmm. done it in 8 months. We have to do it. Is eight
true.
Months a true thing?
Oh yeah,
for real.
We've gone a year.
You have?
Yeah.
Well,
no.
Yeah. I mean, we've fooled around.
We've fooled around.
We had to go into couples therapy during quarantine,
and the couples therapist goes, I'm not going to lie, that's a long time.
No.
You know in their word, it's like a drug dealer being like, you got to slow down. It's really kind of jarring when someone mm-hmm. that. Probably should, like, you know they're rattled by it. It's jarring.
It hasn't, listen, you,
I'm not, no,
you,
I don't
you've
think,
got a,
I think
a
couples
kind of
need
a skewed,
to hear this. I think
skewed,
couples need to hear
first
this.
First of all, her.
Like,
I think
that's why I asked.
People feel shame about
okay,
it. I think it's
shame
important.
About what? Listen, because...
You don't have to feel embarrassed or insecure. During, like, we've always been attracted to each other.
Can I say something?
If you have to.
God almighty.
I don't know why you guys aren't doing it every day.
But, you know, having a 9-year-old... trying to get into the... It sleeps in our bed every night. She comes in... Like,
but
you know,
that wasn't...
She's been
that's,
doing
when,
that.
That's not when we had the hiatus. Can I talk for a second?
That
I think
was
he
a
had this
time.
Irish, I feel like Madonna whore thing. So when I was pregnant, Larry was very... put off.
She did not like
you were too racy.
Not, like, he was not into having sex with a pregnant woman.
No.
Like, it scared the shit out of him.
It scared me.
Right.
And guess what? You're horniest.
No, you were sacred. I looked at her as a sacred being.
Which is disgusting.
Right. And I did not want to ravish her with my child inside
right.
her.
Stop acting like you're James Franco.
Well, I'm sorry.
Like, throw me into a wall.
A lot of guys
like,
are really into that. And some guys aren't. Yeah. You don't know what guy you are until you're
like, my boobs are bigger. It's like, I'm a
boobs
goddess.
Were bigger.
I'm
Your
a goddess.
Boobs were huge. They were huge. Your whole body morphed.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's for him. It was like this in a schematic kind of frame. Like, and then it was like, you have the kid, and then we just, like, we know, like, our connection is like, this is going to sound so, but it's like this more creative, spiritual one. Like, we mm-hmm. weren't always the couple to, like, had sex. Like, we've had
right.
sex, but that's not, like, oh, we've been
That
our
wasn't
thing.
The main
yes,
thing. Right.
But we
right.
had it. So it's like, for us, that wasn't crazy to us if we went a long time.
Right, right.
Well, but then it's we definitely would, had we, this is it's been challenged since day one, since the birth, I think,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
where you're coupling.
But I was angry about the pregnancy thing.
I know you were angry about that. We've talked to many couples
I literally go, I can go to Atlantic City and someone can fuck
you,
the baby out
where
of me.
You,
like, I don't need you.
Where you change, your whole idea of being together changes from this carefree couple into being a business of keeping this kid alive, this little baby alive.
But that's your kind of
well,
anxiety.
That's the, well,
right?
I
no,
was.
100%.
I got extremely anxious.
I was talking about that in my act right now about how, because my kids are older now,
right.
we're kind of coming out of that. They're 16 and 19, so I'm going back to just being in charge of myself.
Oh.
Yeah.
And that's not, that wasn't the best version of me.
Right.
I was a great version of taking care of the kid, and I have a joke about when you bring the baby home, you're on suicide watch immediately.
Yeah. Immediately.
Right.
Like, immediately.
Right.
They're like putting their tongue in the socket and gargling Clorox from under the sink, and you've got to step up your game immediately.
Yeah. You do. I remember the first night where we were in the hospital after she was born, and all of a sudden the kid's going, and I'm like, what the hell's going on? And we're like, get the nurse, and we go, kid's choking. And she goes, oh, And she flipped her over and just went, and then the kid burped.
Yeah.
No, threw up. The fluid was still in her lungs, the embryonic fluid. And I was like, what the hell was that? And she goes, oh, we didn't tell you about that? You got to watch the there's fluid in the lungs. I'm like, okay, well, I'm glad we were in the hospital.
They don't tell you any of that.
I just would have been staring at her at home calling 911.
But guess what? He went home every night to take care of the cats when we were in the hospital. He's like, I just think Avery and Larry. I just want to check on Avery and Larry. And so,
well, it's 5 minutes down the road from Cedars. I mean, why am I going to sleep on a cot?
The most terrifying part is when they just, after a day or two, they just hand you the kid and they're like, you've got to go now. And it's like, wait, how about a brochure? How about
just someone to come home for the night?
Yeah, and the kid wasn't jumping on your nipple correctly. You were having a hard time.
Yeah, that was a difficult thing.
Actually, yeah, it took
and
a little.
So we were like, wait a second, you were going to send us home and we can't feed her?
Latching.
Yeah, she wasn't
but
latching.
But even like the car seat that's waiting for the kid in the car, like I'll never forget you in the parking lot being like,
sweaty.
And it's like your life is about to change. Like this kid in the backseat.
No, I had to go out. I had to go to a special place to put the thing in because they made me so fearful that I didn't know how to put a car seat in.
And you're like pulling it as hard as you can and strapping it in.
And I didn't find it. She's like, I don't trust you. Go send it to. And I had to go to a guy to put in my own car seat.
They call the shelf guy. Too.
But my level of anxiety started from the moment she got pregnant.
Oh, no. At the baby shower, three friends came up to me and they're like, listen, we talked to Larry. I think he's going to be okay. Like, perceived how anxious he was. At the baby shower, people are like, We talked to him.
It stopped. You know, it hasn't stopped. I mean, last night we gave her a shot for she got her first COVID shot.
Oh,
last
really?
Night.
Yeah.
And I was a wreck. Yeah. I was a wreck. I'm so nervous for her. She's 9 years
sweet.
Old. It has
sweet.
Not stopped for 9 years.
Yeah.
I think it's
a panic.
But
it's
you
a panic.
Feel like, so now Tom is like, just I just need to look after myself.
Well, it's all, yeah. Well, because you can't, there's, you go back to that. And the consequences and the things that they're getting into now are so much greater and you have less control.
Yeah.
So you have to kind of, I think
hard.
Mentally I'm just kind of shifting. Like I'm aware, like I can't control someone who's across the country in college. She's not, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if it's a party school or
that's
not.
That's true.
It's just, they're not there. And for you to worry about it doesn't make sense. So I try and channel my Aunt Josephine, who had like six kids. Yeah. And she was like, I don't want to know anything.
Right.
I don't want to know anything.
Well, you really, what you've done is that you've done your job. You've created this thinking being who has, and I'm always trying to tell my daughter this too. Like, I'm trying to train you so that you can do this on your own.
Yeah.
Because I'm not going to be here.
Right.
So I'm trying to train you to make the right choice.
Yeah.
And you've already done it. I mean, in a way, it's done.
Somewhat.
You did great.
Somewhat. Let's see what decisions they make. And it doesn't, and here's the, sorry to burst your bubble on this one. It's not going to decrease your panic.
Yeah.
It's just going to get worse.
I can't think about it too often.
Yeah.
I mean, I still think about it like, you know, we got into a random car accident.
Yeah.
Taking her to dance class a couple weeks ago. And then a 80-year-old man who's confused just happened to veer over and hit the car right after they got out. And that was the only car hit on 3rd Street.
Right.
And we're like, well, thank God that didn't happen 30 seconds before.
Yeah, right. Oh, my God.
That kind of stuff, it just drives me crazy.
No, it does drive you
crazy.
Are
you glad you had girls?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Us too. That's why we didn't have another.
So sweet. The house was, the rhythm of the house was so nice.
Yeah.
It was like, there wasn't mud and sticks and...
Yeah.
And you know, right.
And, just, like,
and we seemed like the same energy level. Like, I wasn't like having to go play football in the yard and go...
Right.
Fishing 20. It was like,
it's a little more sedentary.
Give her a cotton ball and she'll just paint it for the day.
It's your decoupage.
And I'll read. And
right. Let's build a yurt.
I really loved it.
And put some ribbons.
Yeah.
And,
yeah. I wasn't into it at first. I didn't know how to raise a
girl. Yeah, you were kind of an asshole.
Did you not have sisters?
I had one sister, but I didn't know how I would contribute.
Uh-huh.
I didn't know how... But it turns out it was the best possible.
It's the best.
I'm so glad I had a girl.
You're an average husband.
They're
with an excellent dad.
That's good.
Kind of sweet.
I think I went on Karen Rontowski's, like, you know, she's a psychic.
Yeah.
And I think she said that about you too.
Oh, really?
I was like, even Karen's calling it. Like, yeah. I was like, she's right.
A psychic said that?
Yes.
Okay.
She's like, he has your back to you sometimes, but to your daughter, he's facing her.
That was a card. You pulled that card.
No, no, Karen knows.
Okay. Karen knows.
No, she knows.
Okay, Karen.
Yeah, yeah.
The psychic, yeah. They're good at telling you what you want
to
hear.
I did like a few psychics. I'm like, I've done like 20 years of therapy, 9 12-step programs. Like, why not a psychic?
Right.
Why not? I did the weekend shaman that like raped me, just joking. It was like a gentle thing. And then but the problem was I also even went to Kira, and like, she's like my friend though, too. And I was like, are you like a codependent psychic? Like, you don't want to tell me that? Like, because I remember she's like, you and Larry, you're going to have something really intense in like a couple years.
Who's this?
Kira.
Kira.
Kaltanovich.
Oh, she's a psychic?
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. She's a Russian.
I know, like, she's Russian.
The Russian third eye.
She doesn't lead with it. She doesn't lead with it. But like, and she and Karen had a podcast together called like the Psychic Podcast.
Oh, wait a minute.
No, no, you should know that.
I should totally. She's one of my dearest friends, and we've been in Russian bathhouses together.
And I saw that episode. We saw that episode. And we love that.
Yeah, I love her to death. She just did my birthday show on the SiriusXM show.
Kira's wonder. Yeah, she's a good
friend. She says she's a psychic. Or, I mean, she is a psychic?
She's
getting a call immediately.
I wouldn't say she's gonna...
I wonder if she knows I'm about to call.
That's hilarious. She's not, like, on a kiosk in Lancashire. Like, she's not gonna... It's not like a...
She's like, I have the powers. I could
She has
I could do it, but I'm not going
to. It's, like, basically, like, I'm a therapist, but I don't do it.
Right.
Kind of.
Right.
But she's... No, no, but I think some of the things she said, I was like,
Yeah, but she knows you.
Yeah, exactly.
she knows Larry.
So that's not psychic.
I'm seeing a large white man in your in your bed.
A corpulent, like, kind of addicted to bread and brioche and croissant. No, I mean, it was like, but both of them together. I listened to both of them. They talked about your movie that was coming out. They did the forecasting of all your horrible money problems.
I made my own movie, and it was. Pretty,
don't plug it right now. That's not why we're talking.
I'm not plugging it.
Was
I'm
it
just
a good
saying
movie?
It was a
it's
huge.
Very good.
Yeah, it's a good movie.
All right.
Okay, yeah. I don't have to get aggressive about it.
I'm not a psychic. How do I know?
What, you got a problem? No, it's a good movie.
What's it called?
3 Days with Dad.
Okay. It's about the death of his father.
Right.
I based it on death of my father. It's a comedy.
Right.
And Brian Dennehy plays my dad.
Whoa.
It's one of his last movies.
That's perfect.
If not his last movie.
Everyone's
so
like,
perfect.
Young Brian Dennehy.
Yeah, as soon as you say it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, I got Koechner. I did a lot of friends did favors and came and did
great.
The movie.
But
it was
a
lot of the money fell through right before I shot. So it became a real, huge stress. And we shot in our house as well.
Right.
Maybe the worst time in our marriage.
The reason why she went to the psychic and said, when is this going to stop?
I was like, not gonna go to like just. Yeah. I was like, I was gonna my friend.
That's yeah, easy. Kira, you're a psychic, right? Yeah. When is this shit gonna?
No, I mean, ask Kira something.
I'm going to.
Yeah, but I do think she might be a little derailed by the, because we had a joke that she's like, maybe I should do a series about the codependent psychic.
Mm-hmm.
Like, cause I, that's
right.
My idea. I was like, you can
psychic.
Have it, but I.
I gave her the idea for her sauna.
Oh, you did?
Yeah,
it's great.
Let's get sweat. Or
yeah,
whatever.
not very COVID friendly though.
No, it's not.
Right.
Being in her.
I like
her
seeing
two
you in
by
the sauna.
Four sauna.
I know. I love seeing.
I love
the
her so much. I really do.
Me too. She's wonderful.
But I guess a little less now because she didn't. She was a psychic.
I feel like she has her like coven of like witch. Mm-hmm. Like,
she knew
like,
that you weren't going to take it well.
Yeah, maybe.
I think that's why. Yeah. Yeah. No, she could. Yeah.
You know, you and I were in The Informant together.
Yes.
And that movie almost broke up our marriage.
The Informant
didn't break up our marriage.
Well,
why? Because you were in Springfield?
Decatur.
Yeah. I was about to get married to her. They asked me for, you know, when they cleared the dates. That was my first kind of big movie.
Me too.
I hadn't.
And the dates thing was a huge thing. It was like, what do you mean I'm going to be there for a month and a half.
Wow.
Exactly. Indicator.
I'm like,
that's a long
can
time.
I go home in between?
Right.
Because like, no. My scenes aren't every day by far.
Right.
Well,
you,
you had
you
a huge part. I mean, you were.
I had a good
you're not
role.
Used to being somewhere for like a month and a half.
No, you had a great role in that. And but with me, I only had two scenes playing Matt Damon's lawyer.
Right.
And
it's like fifth lawyer.
And I was so excited. Fifth lawyer. Well, I was like,
it was
the last
lawyer. You came in chewing gum in like a Tommy Bahama shirt. It was like the fifth lawyer.
The last lawyer.
Yeah.
The last lawyer. Yeah.
Yeah,
you really got to put it down. Really?
You're one of the greatest actors of the generation.
So why? Because you were away so much, the marriage.
What?
Why did her?
No, we were about to get married.
It was the wedding conflict.
Oh.
And like he missed our rehearsal dinner.
No, they asked to clear all the dates. I said, I have no problem. I could shoot this
whenever
Soderbergh movie whenever. Just I'm getting married on this one weekend.
Right.
And they went, oops. Like they called
they
back.
They do not care.
3 weeks later, and they said, we need these two dates. Like it was the 15th and the 16th. I said, are you guys kidding me? You're shooting a movie on the weekend?
Yeah.
And they said, yeah, and it's in Decatur, Illinois.
Yeah.
And I had to turn down the movie.
Wow. But my parents were like, and don't turn down the movie. Who gives a shit about
out.
The wedding?
I flipped
like,
out.
Parents.
I was like, you know how many auditions I've been on? I finally book this thing.
Finally.
It's with this dream director that I've always, and I can't do it.
Yeah.
And my manager's like, yeah, the studio wants you to shoot your scene on Saturday, which was the courtroom scene. You remember the courtroom scene?
The big courtroom, yeah.
Yeah, where they flew us all back just to sit in a courtroom,
yeah,
and stare at Matt Damon.
Right,
that's all that
who
was.
Didn't who really didn't have much to do there either.
No, they could have shot that in any courtroom here. Right,
that's really true.
But they flew all of us to
that's
Decatur
so
to do this.
That's so crazy.
And that's it. So I had to turn it down. And then you know, Stephen actually called. Anyway, they said no, we'll make it work.
Really?
I'm not going to recast.
It was crazy.
Whoa.
Yeah. And so
he did?
He said, so it was a big joke on set when we shot that scene. He was like, here's Larry. He's going to get married tomorrow morning. Isn't that something? Look at that. And he's going to be in Santa Barbara like in like 12 hours. And everyone's laughing at me. And I'm like, I'm super stressed because I'm looking at weather patterns. We're in the middle of freaking nowhere.
Like nowhere.
It's like a twister.
Yeah. You had to go into Springfield. Remember we flew into Springfield?
Yeah.
Then you had to go to O'Hare.
Yeah.
And it was summer, so there was all these tornadoes touching down.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, I even asked, my father-in-law was like, check in to see about private jets if we have to do it from Springfield. How much is it? So I called this pilot and I was like, listen, if I miss it was $23,000 one way to Santa Barbara.
Oh my God.
Santa Barbara Airport. But my whole family was flying in that day for the wedding.
They're all there before you.
They were all there before me. And I missed it. And she was so angry at me.
So angry. So angry. Oh, and we went in pissed.
Wow.
She was also so jealous. I was feeling like my career, like just, I didn't have a lot going on.
Yeah, so that's a hard thing.
It was hard.
It was very stressful.
And I said to him, if I even hear you holding court and talking about Matt Damon at our wedding, I will fucking kill you. I was like, I don't want to hear a fucking thing about it.
Yeah.
I don't hear Matt Damon.
Isn't
I don't hear Soderbergh. I don't hear one fucking thing.
Isn't that lovely?
Yeah. I didn't want to hear a fucking thing. And
so
then
happy.
I brought my gay yoga instructor as my date to my rehearsal dinner.
Oh my
God. And I remember being like, it's like a lot hosting. Like you want your partner. There's a reason your partner helps shoulder the burden. And it was like.
It's so
not
funny
fun.
Though. There, I had that same realization on that film because I had never done anything like that before, like at that level.
Mm.
And they were so like, no, these are the dates and that's it. And I was like, well, I've got a bunch of money on the table for all these stand-up shows. And they're like, you can't do those. I mean, you have to come and just live in Decatur for a while. I was like, this is how it works? All right, I guess.
Oh, man.
So you cancel the shows and then you...
lost a lot of money doing that.
Lost a ton of money.
A ton of money,
you come away
that's
making
really
nothing,
hard.
But it was the greatest thing in the world.
Yeah. I mean that movie turned out so great.
So great. And Matt, to this day, like, thinks is one of his favorite roles.
It is one of his best roles.
Oh, yeah.
Because that guy is so funny.
So
in that his performance,
so good,
and I loved how he got a little pudgy. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
he could put a little
he's
weight on.
He loves he loves talking about the shoot too because he didn't have to watch his weight. He was
exactly
just like,
he could eat what he wanted.
Yeah,
and then he's better.
Oh,
he's not so angry
man.
And skinny.
Yeah, he's so
angry.
Good.
I would never describe him as angry.
Not angry,
but I think he's probably always in a place of distress of always trying to lose weight.
Always having to look good. Yeah, always having
a
thing. And
I literally remember.
Doing Candelabra with them.
Yeah.
And he was talking with Scott Bakula.
Yep.
And they were talking about what they do, like what they eat. And
God.
Like Scott's like, I run bleachers at UCLA. And Matt's
bleachers
like, I do like this CrossFit thing. And I'm on this kind of diet and then I'm that kind of diet. And I'm like the third wheel in this conversation.
Right.
And literally Matt's like, So as a comedian, like, what do you do? And back it was like, eat cheeseburgers at midnight.
Right.
I was like, hey. That's a
you
big
know,
assumption.
Bakers does it. Yeah. You're like, actually, I do the bleacher.
I could do a bleacher. I could not eat
I think
if
you
I
did you have your shirt off in that scene? They try to get you to have your shirt off, too.
Does everyone have their shirt off?
I love that movie, man.
So good.
I don't mean to brag, but I was the stenographer in Behind the Candelabra.
You were.
Yes, yeah, she's in the movie. Nice. You guys did a movie.
So
together.
We were all in movies together.
We've worked together before.
Yeah. All right. Being this is the Thanksgiving episode, really. Give me your favorite thing to eat on Thanksgiving.
My mom, I don't talk about it. She had this sweet potato, but like toasted marshmallows on top. And
I was looking at that last night. I've never made that.
It's a dream.
It's a dream.
It's a dream. I mean, it's like, I get to eat dessert right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I highly recommend.
Right. That's a good thing to do.
I don't know what you
I want
call
something
it exactly.
decadent
yeah,
fun
it's
like
decadent
that.
And you just, you have it once a year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sweet potato.
Yeah. Surprise.
Right. Marshmallow surprise.
I think a real crowd pleaser and one of my favorite things to eat is corn pudding.
Ooh. I was just talking with Fortune, my co-host on the radio show. She's from the South, and
I'm from Maryland.
And our producer Charlene, and I've never had it.
Yeah, it's like spoon bread with corn in it,
right?
And it is, oh my God, it's delectable.
Yeah, I wonder if a Yankee can make it though.
You can.
I think so. I have a recipe.
I'll send it to you.
Okay. Yeah. All right, do it.
But it's from
the
South.
I'm gonna make it for you someday.
It's not very hard to make. I mean, it's like it's really like you throw like a cornbread mix together with a spoon bread and then. Then
you keep
corn.
Saying spoon and bread. Is that what you
Spoon bread's from
say?
The South.
Oh. Yeah, it's kind of like a casserole, but bready.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Just with corn in it. And it's hot and it's creamy and delicious.
You're like
delicious.
Going into a trance. He's literally going into a trance.
All right. Well, thank you so much for doing this. You guys are amazing.
Thank you. You're amazing.
I love your series. It's really great. Are you going to make more?
We hope so.
Yeah.
We'd like someone to help us do it. So we're not in our lit kitchen.
Right.
Like screaming at each other. But hopefully.
We're pitching all over town.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah, someone should make that.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
And if not, we'll just, now that we found out that we were all actors together, we'll just do like a really depressing play in West Hollywood together.
Let's do a Donald Margulies play in Westwood, and we'll be like, or we'll do Guess Who's Coming, not Guess Who's Coming. We'll figure it out.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
Cool. And you direct us like Hoffman would.
All right, do it again. Oh, you guys, so not good.
Tom and I will quit.
Yeah,
and
we'll
then I'll
walk
become
out.
Friends with his wife, yeah.
All right, we got it, Aaron. All right, everybody, that was the big show. Happy holidays to you. I hope that this kicks off a great season for you. I hope that you had a good time, and I hope you enjoy this first big meal of the holiday season and work out a little bit. Take care of yourself, but enjoy yourself. That's the most important thing. All right, enough corny platitudes for me. I'll see you next time. Enjoy your life.